an audible voice, but it was a clear word for word I could hear in my heart from God. And he said that he chose me, he placed me in this family because I've given you the wisdom, the boldness, and the courage to tell others about me. See, you may have been started by being raised in a church, or maybe you've just recently come to church, or maybe today you're in church for the first time. Everybody has different moments where they have exposure to how much God loves them. Everybody comes into the family of God at different points. But God had told me the very first time, and I find this so interesting now, when I think back and I go, the first time I ever heard the voice of God was the time that he told me that my life was not even about me. It was about other people. I've chosen you because I want you to share with others. The first time that God spoke to me, it was like, hey, life's not about you. It's about everybody else. And so this morning I'm going to be sharing, and we're ending this morning our 10-week series on what we believe by talking about sharing, our faith, by talking about sharing unapologetically. We can declare and share with others what we believe, and we don't have to apologize for it. We don't have to be shy about it or timid about it. We have a boldness to be able to share with others. And you know, if you've been here for the previous 9 weeks, and if you've been agreeing with a lot of the stuff that we've been sharing, that we're a church who believes in God, we're a church who believes in being led by the Holy Spirit, we're a church who believes in gathering and praying and in loving and in celebrating, if you agree with everything that we've talked about for the last 9 weeks, but you don't believe in sharing it with other people, then we're just not a church. See, the moment that we stop being interested in sharing what we believe with others, we stop being the church. We become a social club with moral values. Come join Niagara Community Club. We believe in God. We love people. You see, if we stop just short of being interested in actually sharing what we believe with others, we're no longer a church. We're a great group of people. I'll still love you. I'll still spend time with you. But if we're not interested in sharing what we believe, then we've missed the mark of what we've been called to do. And so this morning I want to talk about the fact that we need to be sharing our faith. The fact that we are called to share our faith with others. And so, you know, we think about, and if you've been a part of church for a while, you can be excited and so thankful about the fact that God has saved you. We can get pretty excited about that. That God has given us a new life. And we get to go to heaven when this life is over. But you know, if God was just interested in having you get saved so that you could go to heaven, he would have killed you the instant that you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord. Angels throw a transport truck off the highway. All right, let's bring him up here to heaven. We're done with him. We got the purpose accomplished. Bring him on up. If all that Jesus wanted to do to get you into heaven, he would have killed you as soon as you became a part of the family of God. So why are we still here? Because we need to be sharing what we believe with others. So as a church, this is what we believe. And we believe in sharing unapologetically. And what I mean by that, and I believe God gave me this phrase as I was taking a look at what we would teach for this series, that we would be a people who not only share what we believe, but we wouldn't apologize for it. Let me give you an analogy. Imagine that some medical experts and some doctors discover what they believe to be the cure for cancer. Can you imagine them having some patients who were diagnosed with cancer? Can you imagine that they would approach those patients and sort of, you know, shyly enter the room and say, well, you know, it's based on our, you know, beliefs and what we've experienced and seen, we think that this will actually cure your disease completely and you'll be fine. But, you know, if you don't believe that, then that's okay. Like, I don't want to offend you. It's just our opinion, really, that this would heal your disease. Can you imagine a doctor saying that? No, they'd walk in there and say, well, this is what you have, but we've got good news. This treatment has been proven to work. We've seen it worked in other people's lives. We've got historical documents to verify that this works, and so this is what we're going to do. Is that okay with you? A doctor wouldn't walk in wondering, you know, well, I just hope that they don't reject me. I wonder what they'll think about it. No, a doctor would go in and say, listen, we've got the cure for your sickness. Church, we have the cure for the sickness of the world. It's called sin. And this isn't something where we're kind of hoping and thinking that maybe we've got the right thing here. We have historical documents that we call the Word of God, that we can trust in with every reason based upon all of the different things that are in this book. We have reason to have faith in this book. And if you don't place your faith in that, look at all the people who have experienced it. Look at all of the stories that would be represented in this room who could say that God has changed your life. And so we have every excuse to be bold when we share our faith. You know, I'm going to talk about three different ways that we can share our faith this morning. You might all have your own little picture in your mind about what it means to share your faith. You'd think that I'm sort of talking about a certain thing, but I want to talk about three different areas this morning. If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, open up to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at three different areas in which we can share our faith. And the Apostle Peter here is writing in his first letter, chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 15. And he's encouraging a church in their faith. And this is what he says, right in the middle of verse 15, starting with always. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Peter says, you've got to be prepared. This first way of sharing your faith just involves you responding to somebody else. This doesn't even mean that you're starting a conversation with somebody. This is just defense. This is when someone approaches you and asks you why you believe what you believe, that you can be able to give them a reason for why you believe what you believe. See, we believe in sharing what we believe with those who don't believe what we believe. Do you believe it? We believe in sharing what we believe with those who don't believe what we believe. And that's my point this morning. But this first way that we can go about approaching it, Peter says, we just need to be ready to respond. See, if you just go out and live your life, in your workplace, in your home, wherever you go, someone's going to find out maybe what you believe. It's just going to happen. Someone's going to find out that you go to church on Sundays. Somebody's going to find out that you believe the Bible, that you believe in God, that you've accepted Jesus. Someone's going to learn something about your faith if you spend any amount of time talking with somebody. And so this is just a matter of responding to people. Many of you know I've spent many years of my life working in the food and beverage industry. And just being able to chat with people in the kitchen between serving tables and being able to build relationships with people, I've had so many opportunities to share my faith just by responding to questions. People get really curious when they find out that you go to church and that you actually believe in this God thing. And so they just start asking you questions. And I get caught up in all sorts of, well, what do you think about this and why this? And all I was doing was giving a defensive reason for why I believe what I believe. And so this is step one. Maybe you feel really embarrassed or shy at the thought or timid at the thought of going out and sharing and starting a conversation. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what I believe. Let me tell you about my church. But this here is a great starting point where Peter says, you need to be willing, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that is in you. So if you've got a hope, if your hope is placed in Jesus, you need to be willing and ready to be able to respond when people ask you questions. Now, Peter's not saying they have to be a theologian or a scholar or an academic mind who's studied the Bible for years rigorously. He's just saying you need to be able to give a reason. And sometimes, you know what just the greatest reason is? You tell them your story. Hey, you know what? This is what God did in my life. And I think he'd be willing to do the same for you. You don't need to be able to quote the Bible. You don't need to be able to have all the Bible verses. You don't need to argue with someone or get into a debate with somebody. You just say, hey, this is my story. Jesus changed my life. This should be true in every area of your life. You know, we should have a good reason for something. If I were to approach you and say, why did you marry your husband? You should have a good reason ready to be able to respond. You shouldn't hesitate for too long. You shouldn't, and it should be a good reason too. It shouldn't be just, you know, like, well, you know, he was handsome, you know, 30 years ago. It's got to be a good reason for why you were married. If you hesitate, you've ruined your witness. You've ruined your ability, your credibility to be able to say that you've got a loving relationship in present situations. So this, Peter's not asking us to do something that's strange or that's, you know, just specific to what we believe as Christ followers. This is just a basic thing of life. If you believe something, you should be ready with a response. Hey, why is it that you believe what you believe? Well, this is my story. This is what's happened in my life. So the second thing that we can do is turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So first, we need to be willing to give a defense. Someone's just going to ask you questions, and you're just going to be able to respond. This is why I believe what I believe. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read several verses, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, that's you and me, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross and raising again, his sacrifice has brought us into right relationship with God. He reconciled us back with God. Our sins are forgiven. We have a new relationship with God. And now, the Apostle Paul here is saying that we have been given the job of bringing reconciliation to the rest of the world. We are the ones who get to carry this reconciled relationship to others and say, hey, you have the opportunity to have a right relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. And I love the way that Paul says it. He says that it's been entrusted to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? It's someone who's in an official position who is sent to represent somebody else. Maybe the prime minister would send an ambassador when going to China for some discussions about politics. And that ambassador would be given the right to act in the authority and to represent the thoughts and the beliefs and the stance of not only the prime minister, but the whole country. When an ambassador is sent somewhere, they go there representing the kingdom that he or she is a part of. And so we are called ambassadors for Christ. We are representing Christ to others. And so this isn't a matter of, you know, necessarily speaking with people or necessarily defending, which we've already talked about, but this is a matter of having a lifestyle that represents God. We're ambassadors for Christ. So everything that we do is to represent God and his kingdom. So Paul says that we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. To say, you know, well, we love Jesus. We've been saved by him. We're grateful. But you know what? I think I just kind of want to live my life for me. To say that that's where you are, to say that you're just interested in representing yourself, is not what we've been called to. An ambassador is called to represent the person that they're sent in his stead. We are sent to represent not ourselves, but God. And yet, when it comes right down to it, don't we really just want to represent ourselves? Don't we just really want to get our side of things out there? Don't we really just want to come with where we're at and represent what we would like to do? You know, in our individualistic society, we've come to believe that we've just got to look out for me, myself, and I. You know what? Nobody else is going to look out for you, so you just got to look out for yourself. Well, Paul says that we're ambassadors. We're not supposed to represent ourselves. We're supposed to represent Christ. We're supposed to represent the kingdom of God. And so this is a matter of an entire lifestyle. This isn't a matter of shift work. You know, the ambassador who might work for the Prime Minister of Canada, he's going to take a few days off. But we don't go home at the end of the day and take off our, you know, child of God uniform and, you know, punch out. Okay, well, you know, it's Friday night. I just get to represent me, you know. What do you want to do? You know, just have fun. But we tend to do that, don't we? We tend to go, okay, well, you know, I did some ministry at the church. I was involved in VBS, but, you know, now it's just time for me. If you're a child of God, you don't get a day off from being a child of God. There's no weekends. But you know what? You don't really want one. See, when you're serving God, you don't want a day off. When you're representing not just a king from this earth, but the King of all kings, you're not interested in punching out. You're having too much fun representing the God who created you. And so we've been given this ministry of reconciliation, meaning that we're supposed to have a lifestyle that represents the kingdom of God. And when it comes to sharing our faith, there's a much bigger picture than just the words that come out of your mouth. It's the life that you live. You can share your faith with 10 people at work in the course of a day, but at the end of the night, when you go home, are you still representing Christ? Are you still representing him in how you spend your time outside of ministry opportunities? So, you know, we're ambassadors 24/7, all the time, round the clock. You know, we tend to think that some of this work should be left to, you know, pastors and evangelists and missionaries, and, you know, that's what they're for. They get to be ambassadors. They get to be sent and represent the kingdom of God. You know, I work and I pay my tithe. That's what I'm called to do. Maybe we'll just let the missionaries do their thing. You know, if you're a child of God, you're already in full-time ministry. You tend to think of people who are in full-time ministry as people who are full-time employed in ministry. No, as soon as you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you said, sign me up. Full-time ministry. Everywhere you go, you're an ambassador. You're a representative. You're representing the kingdom of God. And we need to be willing to be open to those opportunities. And Paul says in Colossians to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And to really carry that through your life. It doesn't mean that, you know, earthly things you shouldn't have anything to do with. It doesn't mean that, you know, you could be doing the most earthly, non-spiritual thing in the world. Picking out a coffee table for your living room. There's nothing too spiritual about that. But you're in the mall, you're looking for a coffee table, something that'll match your couches just right. And yet, if you have your mindset on things above, all that means is, when that salesman comes over, you're listening and waiting to see, God, how can I speak into this person's life? Maybe I can just pray for this guy. But when your mind is set on things above, it doesn't mean that you're, oh, buying coffee tables is sinful and worldly. I'm just going to go to another church service. No, it's in the midst of being in the mall. It's in the midst of being on vacation at the restaurant. Does the way that you tip your waitress reflect the kingdom of God? Oh, am I going too far? Pastor Tim, that's ridiculous. This has nothing to do with my faith in Jesus. I came to church to learn about the Bible, and you're talking about tipping waitresses. I believe that tipping your waiter needs to reflect the heart of God. Oh, well, the drinks took 15 minutes. The food was cold. How can I tip that? How can I support and bless somebody who's not doing their job? Oh, so you think that we should just treat people like they deserve? Oh, you think God agrees with that? You think God wants to treat you like you deserve? I think he did quite the opposite. And so I refuse to tip anything except for a generous tip, because I believe I'm an ambassador. Whether that person knows that I follow Christ or not, I believe that the tip that I leave that nobody but me and that person will ever know about is supposed to reflect the kingdom of God. So when I talk about, you know, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things, I'm not saying that we don't live life in this world. I'm saying when you do those earthly things, are your thoughts still on the things of God? Are you still aware of opportunities to be a blessing? Are you still aware of opportunities for God to allow you to speak a word of encouragement or to ask a question or to engage in conversation or to maybe just remember that person and keep them in your prayers? Are you willing to set your mind on things above in the midst of living your everyday life? So we've talked about defending what we believe. We've talked about living what we believe. And then there's teaching what you believe, actually speaking it out. So turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll take a look at a chunk of scripture here, and we'll stay here for the rest of this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 19. For though I am free from all, Paul says, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law I became as one outside of the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I may win those outside the law. To the weak I became the weak, that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. This is Paul's philosophy for ministry. To become all things for all people, that by all means I may win some. You know, we can get this idea that of saving all. And we can get discouraged when all aren't saved. We can get discouraged when we share our faith with others. Hey, this is what I believe. And then we get rejected. We get maybe mocked. We can feel so discouraged. And Paul says, oh, I'm just going to be all things to all people. If by all means, I'm just going to put it all out there that I may win some. This is Paul's approach to ministry. And we continue. Verse 23. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Verse 26, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Paul's very focused in his attempts to share his faith. He said, I don't run aimlessly. When I'm in a certain environment, whether they be with Jewish people, or whether it be with weak people, or whether it be with people who are under the law or outside of the law, wherever I find myself, I become and speak to them on where they're at. And so this is Paul's approach. I'm not going to run aimlessly. I'm going to have specific opportunities to engage in my faith with others. So I've held off this point until the end because, you know, we can talk about defending our faith. When people talk and ask us questions, we can go, okay, well, that's pretty easy. I can do that. We can talk about living our faith, about being mindful of our everyday life, and you think, well, I can do that. I can strive for living a life that represents the things of God. But usually when we start talking about actively witnessing and sharing your faith with others, the room usually gets really quiet. See what I mean? We want to reserve this for, as I said, apostles, missionaries, prophets. God, send a prophet to save my neighbor. Okay, well, you get to be a prophet for a day because you're an ambassador for Christ. So we need to be ready to defend. We need to be ready to live a lifestyle that reflects God. But you know what? There's going to be opportunities where we just need to start the conversation, to be willing to get a little uncomfortable and share something that we believe. You're in full-time ministry as an ambassador for Christ. And I love that Paul says he doesn't run aimlessly. I think that we all, as believers, need to force ourselves into certain environments where we will share our faith. You know, so maybe the picture that you had when you were thinking about a message this morning about sharing what we believe, maybe you were picturing going and knocking on people's doors. Maybe you're picturing walking, going down the sidewalk and starting up conversations and trying to tell them, hey, have you been to church? And why don't you come to my church? And have I told you about Jesus? Maybe you pictured going out into the streets and doing things like that. But I think that as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we need to focus on some real structured situations where we're almost forced to share our faith. Nothing has grown me more, I believe, in the last 5 years in my willingness and strength in communicating my faith than getting involved in children's ministry. Many of you know that before being the pastor of this church, I was downstairs doing children's ministry for many years. And leading up to that, I was traveling during the summer, doing vacation Bible schools at a different church every week, me and my wife and a team from a camp. And that opportunity for me was terrifying. You might think, you know, oh, well, you know, that's just so great. Pastor Tim, God gifted you with that. And so you are so great with the kids, and that's just how he's used you. Okay, so almost none of you except for my wife were downstairs with me here the first time that I did children's ministry. And maybe about 30 seconds before I was supposed to go, she's already laughing, before I was supposed to go up front, I leaned over to my wife and I was like, can you do this for me? I was terrified of your children. Terrified. Oh, hi, Serenity. I was absolutely terrified of standing up in front of a dozen children and telling them about my faith in God. Now, why is that? Is that because I didn't know what I believed, that I was uncertain about my theology? Maybe it was because I just didn't love Jesus. Do you think that's what it was? No, it had nothing to do with that. And so we sit here this morning and we're all going, I love God. I want to pursue Jesus. I agree with all these things, but sometimes it's just hard. Trust me, I know. And so I had to force myself into a very forced situation, environment, where I was going to share my faith with your children. And because I did that week after week after week after week and got uncomfortable and went outside of my comfort zone, I believe I'm standing here today. You know, there's a lot to say about God just, you know, gifting you with something and just pouring out a blessing upon you, but I think it needs to start with you stepping out and getting a little uncomfortable. There isn't a ministry in this church, in my opinion, that needs more help right now than children's ministry. And you might think, well, that's just not for me. That's just not where God's gifted me. Trust me, that was not where God gifted me. That was not where I wanted to be. But when I came here, when my wife and I came here 5 years ago, we just said, we're going to serve. Where is there a need? Someone said, well, children's ministry. So I signed up. I don't know where God has you to serve in the body of Christ, but I guarantee you it involves sharing your faith with others. And it might be out at the restaurant with your waitress where you end up sharing with them about how God's healed you of a sickness that you had. Or it might be in a children's ministry classroom or at a vacation Bible school. Or it might be in a life group at this church. Or it might be in Celebrate Recovery. There are enough needs within the ministries of this church that you could say, hey, I'm going to share my faith with people right here. I'm going to share my story. God healed me when I was sick. God provided for me when I was in need. Sharing your faith isn't about knowing all the verses. It's about knowing what God's done in your life. Again, folks, if all that God wanted to do was get us to heaven, he'd have killed us when we made a decision to follow Christ. We're still around because there's more to do. We're ambassadors. And God is going to need you to get a little uncomfortable in order to properly represent him. You think Jesus was comfortable where he was headed to the cross? Absolutely not. Our calling is to completely surrender our lives to the mandate that God has given us, to not live for ourselves, but to live for the King, to represent the King. So I'll ask the worship team to come up this morning, right now, and my prayer leading up to this morning has been that there would be a release inside your spirits to know your place in the body of Christ, to know where it is that God can assign you into sharing your faith. If you're here this morning, I believe that you have a hunger in your heart for God. I believe that there's a desire within you, whether it's at the forefront of your mind or it's tucked away underneath. I believe that all of us have a desire to serve God, and we're not satisfied living for ourselves. But my prayer this morning would be that there would be a release, a revelation and wisdom that you would know where God has you to serve and to share. There's a place for you. And I believe that God's blessing upon that when you step out in faith is so beyond what you could ever imagine. You can go ahead and just start playing there. To intentionally get involved in some areas that would make you uncomfortable for the sake of the King that you're representing. For the sake of the God who saved your life and gave you a new start. I believe that if we are ready and willing, God will share with us where to go. He'll lead us. He'll give us opportunities to just tell your story to others. And I'm reminded of when Dr. Van Johnson was here. I just spent a week with him up in Coburg doing a course. And he said again what he said when he preached this morning in June. That, you know, when we as a Pentecostal church, we believe in God doing signs and wonders and miracles and healing and providing. But what maybe we've lost that a lot of the early Pentecostals, they got a grip on was the fact that this wasn't for them. When God healed somebody, it was an opportunity to go tell somebody, look what God does. It wasn't so that you could just have a more comfortable back, you know, enjoy your afternoon naps a little bit more. It was so that you could go and tell people, look what God's done in my life. Look what God's done in my life. He healed me. He provided for me. He did signs and wonders and miracles. Those things aren't just for us, ladies and gentlemen. They're for the world. They're a tool in the hands of the church for sharing our faith. So even if it's as small as you believe that God delivered you from a fever or flu or a sore throat, go tell somebody. I loved, nothing made me more happy than sharing with my coworkers when I was serving tables. That, you know what? God heals me when I'm sick. I just don't stay sick. God heals me. I think, what? That's just the strangest thing. All of a sudden, I had an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. All of a sudden, I had an opportunity to tell them that there's more than just dying and going to heaven. There's living and bringing heaven to earth. Heavenly Father, we worship you. Heavenly Father, we worship you. Stand with me this morning and just join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you as our God. As your favor rests upon us, Lord, not for ourselves, but for others. That your favor would be known upon the face of this globe because a church, your church, decided it wasn't going to be a big selfie, but that we were going to be about others. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this family. I thank you for this church family. Lord, I thank you that this is a group of people who are hungry for you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would release in them now revelation and wisdom concerning their what you would have them do, how you would have them serve you as an ambassador, Lord, that you would not allow them to be content consuming faith for themselves, but that you would commission them again, Father, to go into all the world and make disciples. That you would empower them by your Spirit to share their faith with others. Use us, God. Use us to share unapologetically the Savior of the world who has reconciled us to God through Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.